Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano, and today's show is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. We're going to start today's show with news on some of the major cybersecurity incidents affecting companies across the world. Probably the most interesting one is a ransomware attack that hit email provider Warfly earlier this month. According to the company's server status page, 16 days later after the initial attack, all Warfly services remain down in a case that perfectly highlights the long process that companies must go through when recovering from a debilitating ransomware attack. A big scandal is also slowly developing in Italy, where the Lockbit ransomware gang has claimed an attack on the country's tax and revenue agency. However, despite the gang's claims, both the Italian government and the company that provides IT services to official agencies have denied that any such incident has taken place or that any data has been stolen off its platform. Entrust, a company that provides security access software to corporate and government agencies, was also hit by what appears to be a ransomware attack. The company confirmed the incident in an email notification it sent to customers last week, and a more in-depth discussion on why Entrust was most likely happy that the incident was ransomware and not something else is available in the main Risky Business podcast, episode 673, which went live a few hours ago. And in tune with the old saying that it's not a good week if a crypto platform doesn't get hacked, well, blockchain security firm Slowmist reported that a threat actor stole more than $6 million worth of cryptocurrency from decentralized music platform Audius, so I guess that means we're going to have a good week. Moving on to tech and privacy news, in a letter sent to the US Federal Communications Committee, ByteDance confirmed a BuzzFeed report from earlier this month admitting that Chinese engineers did indeed have access to the personal data of US users, despite the company promising 2 years ago that they would not. In other news, in a clever feat of engineering and operational security, Purisp, a vendor of privacy-focused products, said in a blog post last week that its engineers apply glitter-based nail polish on the screws of its products as a way to prevent threat actors from opening and tampering with their devices while in transit to their customers. The company said it uses glitter-based nail polish because the glitter also works to create a unique pattern on the screws, preventing the threat actor from reapplying a new layer on top, as the pattern would differ. Now, moving on to government and policy-related news, a major development is also taking place in the Netherlands that will soon most likely also spew out in other Western countries as well. What happened is that members of the Dutch parliament have asked the Dutch government to look into the possible national security risk of using Chinese-made solar panels inside a country's power grid. Officials cited a news article published this Sunday by Dutch magazine Follow the Money as the main cause of their concern. FTM reported how a Dutch security researcher found a super admin password that allowed him to enter the IT network of the solar panel manufacturer, Chinese company SolarMan, from where he could take full control of the company's solar panels across the globe. What scared the researchers, FTM reporters, and Dutch officials alike was that in the context of the Russian-Ukrainian war, where Russia is threatening and slowly turning off gas for European countries, they now fear that in a future political disagreement, China may also be in a position where it could turn off large parts of the Dutch power grid, where these solar panels provide a chunky output. The same questions Dutch officials are now asking themselves also apply to Australia, where these panels are also widely used. In other government-related news, on the 6th anniversary of the No More Ransom project, Europol said that its initiative has now helped more than 1.5 million users successfully decrypt and recover their files without needing to pay ransomware gangs. The No More Ransom project currently lists 136 decryption tools for 165 ransomware variants. Moving on to the technical part of our podcast, we have cybercrime, threat intel, and malware-related news. The first item comes from German cybersecurity company DCSO, which published a report on Monday detailing a relatively unknown attack technique recently employed by several threat actors, such as SVC Ready, Gozi, and IcedID to deploy their payloads. The technique, as the company describes it, uses Word document properties to store shellcode that is later used in the attack chain. In another interesting development, a Sukuri report last week has found a web-based cryptojacking script that used WebAssembly to run a cryptocurrency miner in the user's browser when they accessed a compromised website. Sukuri said the script was live on more than 200 websites at the time of their blog post last week. Also this week, security firm Recorded Future also published a report on the avalanche of automated bots offered in underground cybercrime communities that can be used to bypass one-time passcodes for various online services. In another report, security firm Intel471 has put together a list of malware families that are abusing the Discord file hosting CDN to host malicious payloads for their campaigns. The list currently includes the likes of Private Loader, Goo Loader, Agent Tesla, Smoke Loader, Raccoon Stealer, and many others. Also in malware news, Kaspersky published on Monday a report on Cosmic Strand, a UEFI rootkit that has been deployed in the wild since at least 2016 by what appears to be a Chinese cybercrime group. Kaspersky said the rootkit can infect ASUS and Gigabyte motherboards using the H81 chipset, but they haven't yet discovered how the rootkit was being installed. Utsecure researchers also published a report on Tuesday on DuckTale, a new info-stealer they've observed in the wild that targets and infects victims likely to have access to Facebook ads and business accounts. Utsecure says the threat actor behind this malware appears to be operating out of Vietnam and targets victims via their LinkedIn accounts. The threat actor has been active since late 2018 and has been using the DuckTale malware in attacks since the second half of 2021. In vulnerability and bug bounty news, the team behind the PrestaShop e-commerce CMS released a security update on Monday to address an actively exploited zero-day that was discovered last week. Tracked at CVE-2022-36408, the zero-day was being used to add malicious code to PrestaShop websites via an SQL injection vulnerability and then steal payment information from checkout forms. Also this week, Palo Alto Networks has published the 2022 Incident Response Report, a study of more than 600 incidents the company's analysts responded over the past year. Some of the report conclusions are that phishing and software vulnerabilities are still the top initial entry points for most incidents. The proxy server vulnerability also accounted for 55% of all exploited vulnerabilities last year. Another conclusion is that attackers, both script kiddies and sophisticated groups alike, moved quickly to weaponize the vulnerability once a public POC was available. And last but not least, the time to patch got shorter this year, with attackers starting scans for some vulnerabilities as fast as 50 minutes after CVEs were announced. Also on cybersecurity news, there were some interesting free security tools that have been open sourced over the past few weeks. This includes Pulsar, an eBPF-based security framework for IoT devices, Wodat, a C# port of a popular penetration testing tool used for breaking into Oracle-based databases, and a new service called Did Someone Clone Me that uses custom links embedded inside original websites to detect when threat actors use clones of the same website for phishing attacks. This concludes the news section of our podcast. In our sponsors section, Airlock Digital co-founder Daniel Schell is here to talk about a recent silent patch that Microsoft rolled out to the Windows Protected Process Light mechanism, also known as PPL, a crucial security feature that the company uses to protect sensitive processes inside Windows.
So in the Windows 10 and 11 July security updates, Microsoft implemented some fixes to the protected process capability that prevented a userland exploit that enabled privileged users to inject arbitrary code into PPL processes. This exploit was used by Clément Lebreu's tool PPL Dump to dump the processes of LSAS to retrieve secrets without requiring a vulnerable signed driver. The deep dive technical write-up on Clément's blog about the Windows internals workings of protected processes, how PPL Dump works, and the reversing of the July patch are amazing and definitely worth checking out. If you're looking to further harden systems from vulnerable signed drivers, you can look at an allow listing solution that supports driver loads to prevent untrusted drivers from running, and also consider implementing the prevention of the Microsoft recommended driver block rules to prevent the loading of the Mimikatz's own driver or vulnerable drivers such as G drive, which can be used to dump the memory from protected processes.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. And you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.